Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, verses 31 to 46, Matthew chapter 25. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of being a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for how that you've called us out of the world and into new relationship with you and one another. And thank you for the wonderful privilege we have of being a part of your wonderful church that shares the love of Jesus Christ with a hurting and dying world. Lord, stir us to be the church of love and compassion you've called us to be individually and collectively, and help us to know that we're to live a lifestyle of reaching out through compassion and grace to a world that desperately needs the love, the care, the help that only Jesus Christ can provide. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us as well at this time.
God, we're so thankful that you sent your precious Son, Jesus, your sinless Son, down to this sinful earth on purpose, on a mission to die a terrible death on the cross for us. Father, help us to live on that more and more, to be appreciative of that great condescension to sinners like us. We love you. We praise you. We lift high your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are honored to have with us once again, it's been a little while, but we're grateful to have with us once again, Amy Wager. She's the director of a ministry called Trafficking Hope based in Alabama. Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Great to have you back with us. And, you know, I've had the privilege of knowing some about the work and the ministry of Trafficking Hope for a number of years and meeting a very tremendous need in our world and helping to address a terrible tragedy. So thank God for ministries like yours. As we start, Amy, if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and introduce to our listeners, some of which have heard of Trafficking Hope and some which have not, introduce them to Trafficking Hope and the tragedies behind the reason such a ministry needs to exist.
Sure. Thank you so much, Pastor. So my name is Amy Wager, and I'm the Alabama Director for Trafficking Hope. Trafficking Hope is an anti-human trafficking ministry that exists to help equip and empower the local church to be involved actively in the fight against sex trafficking in our own communities, because there's just not a community that's not affected or touched by this atrocity. So that's really what we do, and I have the honor and the privilege to serve with my church. I go to a church in Alabama. It's a very large multi-campus church in Alabama, and I get to serve heading up all the unity trafficking efforts there. And so the problem and the scope of what we're facing is modern-day slavery. Just for anybody who has not heard of trafficking before, human trafficking is modern-day slavery. It exists now. It's the exact same thing that we saw in the Atlantic slave trade, and it looks different here in the U.S. And so human trafficking is any work or service that someone is made to perform through force, fraud, or coercion. And so then sex trafficking is specifically what we combat and fight against, and that is any type of sexual service that someone is made to perform via force, fraud, or coercion. For example, just to give you a little story of what we're looking at and talking about, one of our amazing law enforcement task forces one night, they were doing a human trafficking thing where they were setting up and trying to talk to women who were in the life, and so they were doing undercover operations with law enforcement. And one of the females that they encountered that night during that operation was from a different state, and it took about 2 or 3 hours for her to finally admit she was not doing this on her own. Most of these survivors pretend that they're doing it of their own, that it's their own choice, but in reality, after several hours of investigation, they come kind of clean about it. And she said, I'm actually from, she was from Mississippi, and she had crossed over into Alabama, and they said, why are you here? And she said that the pimp had her son, her baby, in a hotel back in Mississippi, and he took the infant, put it in a microwave, and said, if you don't do what I tell you to and protect me and give me all the money, I'm going to kill your baby. So she didn't really have a choice. So she was forced into going to another state, selling herself, pretending as that she was a prostitute, doing it of her own will, and then sending the money back to him. So that's the... You can see the deception. You can see the plans that the enemy has for this person's life. And why it's so crucially important that we as God's servants and God's people stand up and say, no more. This can't happen to this person anymore. So it's really important that the church take a stand, not only take a stand verbally, but that we be actively involved as God's warriors in this fight, because she needs love, and she needs hope, and she needs help. So that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at. We're also looking at a complete assault on children. And there is a target that the enemy has on the heads of children throughout this nation to get to them. The easiest way to get to a child is obviously already being in their life like a parent. We see a lot of parents trafficking kids and coaches, a lot of people who are in their life already. But the second biggest way to get to a child is through social media and through their smartphone.
Amy,
and
so can I interrupt you for one quick minute? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Before you go further, I want to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear, because I would mention that, again, you're kind of covering a lot of ground, but at the same time, there are things that God would have listeners who are listening that he's going to want them to do when they finish hearing the broadcast. Some of them will be are to pray. Some are to give financially. Some may need to help start this same kind of outreach in their own community. But would you pray for them that they will have ears to hear whatever the Holy Spirit wants them to do to help address the tragedy you're speaking of?
Yes, absolutely. Father God, we come before your throne humbly as your servants, and we say, Lord, don't let us live ordinary Christian lives, Lord. I just ask that for all the ears that are hearing, Lord, that they would be open. Let the ears hear in Jesus' name. Let people receive a word from you today, God, that is your holy direction, your holy inspiration for how they can change, be active, be involved. Lord, let us be people who are sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to your calling, and to your needs in your community that you would have us drawn to. In Psalm 32, 3-4, your word, God says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And right now, God, whoever is listening throughout this audience, Lord, I just pray that you would gently, the only way that you can, gently and lovingly place something, stir something inside of someone to break them out of their usual mold so that they can hear you, they can see and hear what we're talking about today through your lens, with your eyes, And God, I just pray that you would touch that those people's hearts and don't let anything we say settle on them in an unhealthy way, but let it be a stirring and a calling from the Holy Spirit for them to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amy. So, but you just mentioned, you said that often one of the tragedies is you have parents that traffic their own children?
Yes. Yes. Okay. For example, we were recently with law enforcement and able to recover. Well, I'd probably give this example a little bit later in the broadcast, but we do see that. The number one way to traffic a child is through familial trafficking. So it's a mother, a father, aunt, sister, uncle, brother. It's someone who's already involved in the child's life. And we see them trafficking. For example, here locally, we had a four-year-old child that was trafficked by the dad. And the mother would leave and go to work, and then the dad would drug the baby, the four-year-old, with Benadryl and have people come over to the house and have sex with the child while mom was gone. Mm-hmm. And so that child never even left the quote-unquote comfort of their home, but was sex trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reality. That's the grave and dark and desperate reality of what mm-hmm. the enemy is doing in this realm.
That is so tragic, so wicked and so dark. And yet, well, if someone listening might, if they had a chance to speak to them, I would ask, well Amy, that sounds terrible, but we're glad it doesn't happen in our community. That happens in big cities and in other countries. How would you respond to that?
There's just not a community that is not affected by sex trafficking. We continually go out into the very rural parts of our state and talk to people and talk to law enforcement and say, look, we don't have that problem here. And just give me a little bit, and I can pull it up and show it for you happening in that community. And by and large, and I'll say this too, it happens physically in every community, but it also happens on the Internet. If you have a cell phone in your pocket, you have access to be a part-time slave owner in human trafficking through pornography, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. But any area that has access to the Internet has access to take part in sex trafficking, the trafficking of children, the trafficking of adults, girls, boys. No one is exempt from the vulnerability of this, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So basically you're saying it's in every community in our nation, really?
It's absolutely, yes, sir. It's in every community of our nation. And we even have, I go to an amazing life-giving church, and we even have children in our church that the parents had no idea, because the kid is living at home, going to school, doing pretty well in school, and the child is being trafficked through their phone. And the parents had no idea. And so we're talking about, we need to rip the Hollywoodized version off of what we think trafficking is and allow God to tell us what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. And so if someone wants to learn more about Trafficking Hope, how can they learn more about the work you do and your outreach?
They can go to our website at traffickinghope.org and connect with us on there. They can fill out a form or they can send us an email through there. We would love to talk with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so do you have a lot of churches at present that are supporting or working with you with the work you do?
We do. We've got churches all across the United States. I think right now there are a little bit over 40 churches that specifically partner with us, and then there are other churches who partner with us in different ways, but all the way from Washington State to Florida. And Trafficking Hope is sort of a plug-in program that you can use at your church, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. Our goal is to equip the saints for their calling. So we try to make it very easy, very friendly, and very cooperative to help people get involved in this fight, specifically the local church.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Amy Wager. She's the Alabama Director of Trafficking Hope. We'll be right back.
Families are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, again, we thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity for us as believers to learn more about the things that are going on in our world. And thank you for the opportunity you give us to be vessels through which your Spirit can reach to touch and change those things for and help bring people to Jesus Christ and help save them out of darkness, from drowning the sea of darkness and so many things that are going on, toxic things that are going on in our world. Stir us to recognize, Lord, that the love of Jesus Christ should stir us to want to get involved with being vessels that you can bring, through which you can bring healing, hope, and salvation to a world that desperately needs it. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Amy Wager. She's the Alabama Director of Trafficking Hope. Amy, if you'll pick up where you left off, you were sharing about a big part of the problem behind sex trafficking is because of pornography. Would you pick up where you left off?
Certainly. So one of the biggest problems and the biggest demand contributor, meaning why do we still have this problem? What's really stirring and fueling the desire for sex trafficking in this way is pornography. We have a rampant pornography usage problem here in the United States. We are not only the number one producer of pornography in the U.S., but we are also the number one consumer of pornography in the world. Well, I'm sorry, the U.S. is the number one producer and consumer of pornography. And because of digital technology and social media and the ability to have online everything right in our pockets with our cell phones, It is very rampant. In fact, there are studies that show that the average age when a boy is first introduced into pornography use is between 8 and 10 years old. And it takes about a year for it to hit an addiction status. The average age that a female is first introduced to pornography is around that 10 to 11-year-old age bracket, too. And so what is happening in the United States is there are several states that are, pornography is very detrimental to our health and to our society in general, because it really removes the humanity and the human element of sex. Like God created us to be combined as man and wife, and for it to be a beautiful and righteous thing, and it dehumanizes people when we use it in this way. And so what we're seeing that all across the United States, there's a syndrome called PIED, P-I-E-D. It's pornography-induced erectile dysfunction. And men are being prescribed medication for that syndrome between the ages of 18 to 25 at such an alarming rate. It was never meant for that age bracket. But because of the huge pornography usage, erectile dysfunction medication is being prescribed for them. So what happens is, just like in a drug use, when you get a taste of something and you do it and it lights your brain up in the same way that our brain is stimulated in sex, sometimes you have to do more, do a little bit more of that, do a little bit more deviance of that in order to get that same heightened sense that you had the first time you used the drug. And sex is the exact same way. And so what we are seeing is that people are using pornography for, you know, a large span of time, and then they're having bodily dysfunctions according to that, because when they get in front of a live, warm body, they cannot perform because it doesn't meet what their mind has been seeing. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go a little bit more deviant. And so that might mean actually going out and physically paying for sex by what someone they may think is a prostitute. Mm-hmm. It is actually a person who might be being sex trafficked and forced into it.
Amy.
So it's that deviant.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Just a quick question I want to ask, if you'll address, and if you'll kind of address this a little bit further. I recall some time ago having mother had contacted me, contacted to see her at AFA, and very, very disturbed that she had an 8-year-old little girl that had accessed pornography on her iPad. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously the mother was genuinely concerned, but I think it reflected the tragic just lack of understanding of what we're dealing with. You know, for example, she had given her child access to an iPad that had access to the internet, and she told her 8-year-old, only do this. And again, it shows, sadly, a naive parent that thinking that, well, my child will do what I tell them. But the fact is, there many children have no business getting access to the internet because it's a dangerous world to itself. Would you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So not only the devices that we have and that we readily give our kids access to, they have access to so much more than we expect our kids to get. And honestly, there is a target. Like I said, the enemy we know has a target on the heads of our children. Mm-hmm. But the advertising and the way, the very crafty way that things make their way onto those devices, they're targeting children. Mm-hmm. They're targeting children. They want to expose them to more, to get them into more. And also, it is a spiritual attack and a target on our culture, mm-hmm. on our Christian culture. And so unless, just because we tell a child and we trust our child to not do something or go somewhere doesn't mean that there won't be something accidentally pop up on a screen or an advertisement pop up on a screen that we don't want for our child to see. I have a friend whose children were issued Chromebooks from their school. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine this school has a lot of safety parameters on there, but there was like a game that was targeted towards young kids. It's similar to Minecraft. It's an online game, and it's for young girls to go on there and safely play with others. However, the problem being that there was some older man who pretended to be a young girl, because the safety parameters, they're just not there. There's no way to verify the age of someone on there. Mm-hmm. And this guy had started targeting her 10-year-old child. And talking in a very sexually explicit manner to the child, and the child lied and said she was older, and they were having like a conversation, and they were meeting up on this game and all that. And the game had safety parameters. You could not send an age, you couldn't send a phone number or an address, but one letter at a time, she communicated to this person her address, her school, her phone number, and all of that. And so even these programs that are set up to have such wide safety parameters, someone who is trying to get at our children for harm will gently move them onto a different platform. And they had already been talking to this girl about, well, have you ever played Minecraft, or have you ever been on social media? Why don't you go and open up an account here so that we could talk more fluidly? So just because we give them a device and we trust our kids, it doesn't mean that we need to trust everything that's out there that could get on the device. That's the main issue.
And, you know, Amy, I think it's very important for us to recognize that it's important for adults to be wise enough to recognize that many adults don't handle the internet well, much less children. So we need to recognize our children are children, and we need to be wise enough to guide them and just put restrictions on them, because children are children, you know. So, but
yes, sir.
But share further as far as the ministry of Trafficking Hope. Then, so Exodus Cry and Trafficking Hub. Would you share with us some about what those are about?
Sure. So one of our amazing partners is called Exodus Cry. We use them in the training of our advocates, and they're an amazing Christian organization. And they have launched a major and massive campaign to combat a website called Pornhub. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most widely used sites in the world, but they also were advertising that they have, if anybody can go on there and upload pornography to that website, and you get money off of it. And there were so many people whose rapes were videoed and uploaded to Pornhub and advertised as such. They weren't even trying to hide that. And people will go and search for that to use. And so basically it's not a website. It's a crime scene. And it absolutely must be shut down. So the amazing work of Lila Mepplewaite and Helen Taylor and the entire team at Exodus Cry, they're fighting to change the culture in America so that pornography usage is not an okay thing. It's for the longest time been, well, I just use pornography and that's okay, and it's been sort of an accepted culture, and they're fighting to change the actual culture. So what has happened here recently, because I'm the prayer warriors at Exodus Cry and even Trafficking Hope and all these amazing organizations who have come around to fight this fight, God is being so victorious in this. Here recently, Thailand, the message, just a small group of people had spread the message worldwide, and the country of Thailand blocked Pornhub from being used in their country. Mm. And then recently, this past week, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover did their own investigations, and they have canceled the uses of their services with Pornhub because they were citing illegal sexual content, like all these child rapes and things. Mm-hmm. And then two more things have happened here recently. Just this week, it's been a very exciting week. Pornhub yesterday removed over 10 million videos from their site because of the massive cry, and they cited it was Exodus Cry that forced them to do that. And then yesterday, the Canadian government, which is where the servers for Pornhub are hosted out of, the Canadian government passed a unanimous motion to have Pornhub top executives appear before a government committee. So God is dismantling this online crime scene. God's prayers, his warriors are being affected. Our God is a God of righteousness, and he wants righteousness for those victims of Pornhub.
What would you say is the possibility of, just like Thailand has completely blocked Pornhub, what would you think is the possibility of the U.S. doing the same thing?
It depends. I honestly don't know that that would happen. I have reached out to my my government leaders and my congressmen. I encourage everyone to do that. If you go on Exodus Cry's webpage, there's ways on there that are talking about, you know, advertising how to get in touch with your legislators and your congressmen. I contacted a very conservative congressman from my state, and he said, well, freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Freedom of speech. And honestly, if we can't protect children from rape online and that being exploited online, our freedom of speech is worthless, because we're using our freedom of speech for the devil's purposes rather than God's kingdom purposes. Mm. So it kind of depends. We as a nation have got to rally around whose speech are we speaking when we protect freedom of speech. And so I don't know if that will happen. I certainly hope it would, and we'll definitely be praying for that.
Okay. And so specifically, too, how would you ask believers to pray for the Ministry of Trafficking Hope in particular, but also victims who have been caught up in both, obviously, this the sex trade, but also people who are victims of pornography as well? How would you advise them to pray?
I would advise for people to pray for the realization that a lot of it boils down to self-worth. They don't know who they are. So I would ask the church, would you please pray for prevention efforts? Please pray that men will be, that little boys will be mentored by men about what it means to be a godly man. That you would pray for women to know who they are, that they are God's. That their body is not a tool to be used, that it is a weapon for the kingdom of Christ, and it is to be protected. And also, I would just pray that that blind eyes would see, and that deaf ears would hear. Not only what else is out there that is attacking us, but also what is it that we are a part of that is conducive to this type of environment in our culture? And I would just pray that we would take action, that we would, that change begins within us, and it goes in our church, and it filters out from there. And we just ask for people to pray for healing. The online sexual exploitation of all these victims who have been trafficked on Pornhub, their victimization happens again every time somebody clicks on that link, every time somebody views it. They are perpetually victimized, and it is soul-sucking, and you can just see it way over them when you work with someone who's been in that. So we would just pray for divine healing, and we would pray for governments to stand up for victims and not allow this, the current culture, to dictate what they're going to allow, but allow God to dictate this.
That's right. That's right. You know, what comes to my mind is the fact that, you know, in Matthew 28, we're told, go into all the world and make disciples. And a big part of the issue is when the church proclaims the gospel and helps people to come to know Christ and then disciples them, as they read and study the Word of God, it transforms their mind, their thinking, their perspective. And that's a big part of what we need to be doing, doing the work God has called us to do as a church, make disciples, help people learn how to really follow the Lord. So we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest, our phone guest today is Amy Wager, the Alabama Director of Trafficking Hope. We'll be right back.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. He rules the world with truth.
Music of Mercy Me with Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Amy Wager. She's the Alabama Director of the Ministry Trafficking Hope. Amy, as we enter this last segment, you mentioned you had a story or two that you wanted to share about the work that you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think it's really important. A lot of the things that we see and we talk about with trafficking, it's very heavy and it's very dark. And we see like 90% really bad things, but then the 10% that we do see, the miraculous of God is just important, and it's important to tell that. And so I wanted to start off by telling kind of a hope story. There was a trafficking victim who was sold when she was about 13 or 14 years old by her mother to a trafficker for drugs, in exchange for drugs. We were recently on an undercover operation with law enforcement, and she was recovered, and she had been trafficked with this guy for the past 6 years. She was isolated, beaten, starved, she was plied with drugs. They forcefully addicted her to heroin. So just really things looked dark and bad and evil, and all she knows is that life, is the abuse and the torture. And she thought that that was love. She missed the childhood. She missed movies that you and I may commonly know, funny Christmas movies and things like that. She never decorated a gingerbread house or sugar cookies at Christmas. And so we worked with her. I wound up being her advocate that night, and we worked with her. And when she was coming in, she was very high on heroin, and she was just very nervous. And I asked her, when was the last time you had a meal? And she just looked at me like, what is a meal? She said, they gave me some candy yesterday. And I thought, okay, no. But this girl went through major drug withdrawals, major trauma withdrawals. You can just imagine the psyche of her brain and the worldview of her brain just completely crushing, because the people that she thought loved her did not love her. They were, you know, forcibly raping her and all these things. And so we took her through many weeks of going through drug detox, and then going into psychiatric care and psychiatric services, and, you know, kind of walking with her throughout that process. And some amazing law enforcement just really helping and pushed for things to happen for her. She has been in recovery now and been in this amazing facility getting recovery for about 3 or 4 months now. And I went and recently visited her last weekend. We did a big gingerbread decorating party at the house. And so, and like I said, this basically child, mentally, she's still very, very young. She's never decorated sugar cookies. She didn't have that. And so she had the best time doing it, couldn't wait to get icing everywhere, and it was just a very fun time. And when she saw me, she ran up and she hugged me tighter than probably anyone ever hugged me, and she said, I love you. Mm-hmm. This is a girl who was shaking with heroin withdrawals. We were in an emergency room, and we had advocates around the clock staying with her, and she ripped off all of her stuff and tried to run out of the building, and I literally had to hold her and hug her and tell her, you can't go, and then staff had to chase her and put her back in the bed. I mean, it was extremely active hands and feet of Jesus from so many teams and so many people trying to hold this girl and keep her steady. And she said that she is experiencing God radically changing her life, like she didn't know that this kind of life was possible. So I just want to encourage the listeners today to let you know that even though the situation that we see, they may be so completely dark, so void of light, so absent of hope, our God is so powerful. His light and his hope pierces through the darkest of night, and it just takes persistence of his people. And her life is radically being changed. So it's truly a miracle.
Well, Amy, share once again your website, and if listeners, if they want to get involved with your ministry, learn more about it, to give financially or somehow or another be connected, share the website, please.
The website is traffickinghope.org, and we're based out of Birmingham, Alabama, but again, we're a nationwide organization of ministry, and Christian church organization can go to traffickinghope.org and learn about our CARES initiative, and you can sign up through our page to be one of our partners. Again, it doesn't cost anything. We have small group material that will educate your church, your team, your small group members, and we give it all away for free. We just have to partner with you, so they can go to traffickinghope.org and then learn about us and what we do and sign up there. And then however that church makes their any trafficking program work, they do that. We give guidance for how to do that, but they don't have to do what we suggest. They can do other things too. But we do a lot of outreach. At the church that I go to, we go out on the streets at night. We go to the bad hotels at the dangerous hours. In the fierce love of God, we pass out roses and hygiene kits, and we love on people. You have to go where the hurting people are. We go to the strip clubs, and we do ministries there where we pray for them, and we love them, and we tell them about God's love. And I'm telling you, if you go into these places, you see God move in a way that you might not see if you stayed in the pews of your church. It's incredible.
You know, Amy, I want to share a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to invite every listener to really listen to what the Spirit of God would say to you through this passage. It's a familiar passage, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, this is Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Father, we thank you for every believer listening. And thank you, Lord, for the many truths and insights that you're teaching us as your church through this powerful parable here. Lord, teach us to be a people whose lives are permeated with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. People who desire to be vessels through which you reach to pull people off the road where they've been beat up, robbed, and left for dead on the side of the road of life. Help us to know, Lord, that you call us to have the heart of the Samaritan, and that you want us to always avoid being like the priest and the Levite in this story, who for whatever reason pass by on the other side. Lord, help us to live a life just permeated with your mercy, your love, and your compassion in the way you desire that we do. So we thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amy, I want to ask if you'll share just a word of appeal and encouragement to every listener to recognize that God wants us all to love the world in view of how much hurting and devastation there is as it relates to human trafficking in particular. What would you say to our listeners in that regard?
Pastor, I really want to leave with this thought. There are three of the most dangerous prayers that we as Christians not only should pray but must pray if we want to be effective for the Great Commission. And that's the first one, we pray the whatever prayer. That's, God, I recognize who you are. Whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you would have me do, have your way in my life. The second prayer is, God, break my heart for the things that break yours. But buckle up, because you'll do it. But it's very crucial that we ask that. God, what you have your way, do what you want, whatever in my life. And then number two, break my heart for the things that break yours. And then the third thing that is very crucial is, as God begins to break our heart and steer us in the direction of our purpose and what he's created us for, we say, God, give us sight. Help me see people the way you see them. Let me see people through your lens. And when you pray those three most dangerous prayers, then God knows he has a pliable and moldable weapon for his kingdom that he can use. And we have to pray those, whether you're called to be combating human trafficking or whether you're called to be helping the homeless or helping those that are in your church or whatever God's calling you to do. We as God's people have got to pray those three prayers. They're very crucial to all Christian aspects because God wants to break us out of our cushy, boxed-in Christian life that we fit God into so that the Great Commission can be fulfilled. Mm. We are in the local church, and how we do, we are the hope of getting them to Christ. And so he wants to get, he's given us and equipped us to do the work, and he's put the Holy Spirit inside of us. He was trying to get the Holy Spirit out of us and into this lost and broken world so that he can draw close to his creation, so that they can be brought to Christ. So okay. That's what I would leave them with.
Praise God, praise God. Well, Amy, and also I think you're pleased with the way your own church has rallied around and supported the work you're doing then. Is that correct?
I really am. I'm very pleased. My home church has been the very, very large church in Alabama, and they've been extremely supportive of this. It's the heart of our pastor, mm-hmm. is go and help people. Go where they are.
What is the name of your church?
I go to Church of the Highlands. Okay. And based out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We use Trafficking Hope as our anti-trafficking ministry at Highlands, but Trafficking Hope is also the anti-trafficking ministry of many churches around. But we do, our pastors encourage us outreach. Go love people. Let's get Christ and the love of Christ out into these dark, dark places so mm-hmm. he can radically change the world.
Mm. I'm glad to hear that your church is involved. What would you say to listeners who are thinking, well, I want to get my church involved? What would you say to them?
What I would say is we're more than happy to talk to you. Please go to our website. It's traffickinghope.org, traffickinghope.org. Contact us. You can look through our material. If you don't like the stuff that we have, if you want to go a different route, we can recommend other organizations that do great work and have curriculums for churches to get started and get going. It's not about a name. It's not about competition. It's not about using us or using somebody else. It's about coalition and working together and just getting involved, getting God's people involved in the fight. So we're open to help anybody and help you land wherever you feel like the Lord is leading you to land. But be sure to reach out to us. We're more than happy to help. You can go, again, to traffickinghope.org, and we'd be happy to help them get set up. I think everything starts with prayer, Pastor. And you know, I know that this is a big thing, especially on this show, but everything starts with prayer. God, how do you want us to respond to this call? Mm. How do you want us to work? Where would you lead and guide us? And so we're more than happy to help assist in any way that we can.
Amen. Would you say one more brief word of prayer for in the last few seconds before we end our time today?
Thank you, Father God, for our time today. Lord, I just pray that everything that we spoke has landed on soft and open ears. Lord, I just pray you would open our hearts to see the vision that you have for us. And Lord, if we're called into this, Lord, equip us. Help us to step out. God, I just pray blessings over every church and every group and every person listening today. And just ask you, Lord, lead them, guard them, and guide them, and help them to see people the way that you see people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for Amy and her staff and those she works with. And thank you for the work you've called them to. Anoint them with a fresh anointing of grace, strength, and encouragement as they do the work they do. Use them more and more for your glory and prosper the work of their hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amy, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Again, please go to traffickinghope.org. Learn more about the ministry and, as Amy referred to, ask the Lord how he would have you and your church to get involved in helping this great work in our culture. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.